This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prisca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good afternoon and welcome down the Tee Florida. Two pros and a hack in the entertainment gallery. Actually, the entertainment gallery is the man himself, St. Pete's most interesting man, Tom Gribben, in the house with me. And, of course, Bill Buttner will be at 6 o'clock. Already on the line is the rock of the show, and that is John Rieger. And he's up there at St. Augustine Beach. Of course, we're here each and every Saturday. That's the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Each and every Thursday from 5 to 7 on this last day of November, a nice warm day, actually, on the Tee Florida, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily. And we're live from our Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio. We're on the lower nine. And, of course, we've got an upper nine sponsored by our good friends at Yuengling, and we're on the lower, which is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. And I want to thank Chris Lewis for his support there. Each and every week you can catch us. We'll talk everything from the PGA to the Champions Tour. We'll talk LPGA, as of course I've got my Annika gear on to antagonize Mr. Gribben across from me. And then, of course, we also we'll talk a little college. We'll have Lance Ringler on next week, and he will give us an update on the evolution of what's taking place now in NCAA golf as far as qualifying and on the PGA. We'll talk about that and the fall season that took place. And then also we'll talk to Adam Gooder next week. He's got the COVID, actually, but we're fortunate. We've got Jeremy Friedman coming on shortly, and he'll break down just a look back at 2023, as well as look back at the Annika, something we did not get to do. And of course, each and every week, we also will give you the leaderboards. And you know what's great about it today, fellas? Golf is back. Tiger Woods, I don't care what he shot. He shot a three over, John. He shot a three over, a 75. But when he moves the needle, and I can guarantee you there was a lot of unproductive people watching golf today live from the Bahamas as Tiger Woods.
And he's not fooling around. He says he can win.
He believes he can win, and he made the statement he can play one a month. And he's just rusty, and I know John Rieger knows quite a bit about that. John, how are you, my man?
Well, it's great to be back on the air after a couple weeks layoff here. I know that we had two major events between the last time we were on the air and tonight. The first one, obviously, was Thanksgiving, and I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. But also, for those folks that follow us closely on social media, it was the Hack's birthday. Mike Rickard, happy birthday to you.
Yes. Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I spent it at home. And I didn't even go anywhere, but I'll make up for it.
And for your birthday, I'm going to say something nice about Iowa. Do you know where sliced bread comes from? Iowa.
I did not know
that. Yes, that was the first sliced bread machine in the country.
Oh, my God, that's our claim to fame. Sliced bread from Iowa.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about our horrific college football team that's playing in the Big Ten championship.
I want to say something nice. You got sliced bread for your corn sandwiches.
Thank you very much. So, John, how you been, my man?
Hey, everything's great, you know, and obviously, you know, when you do a golf show, sometimes you have to spend a lot of time, you know, prepping and trying to stay up on the world. And, you know, it's always been the last couple of weeks, you know, without any tournaments of note to going on other than after the CMM World Globe Championship. That was quite a spectacular. And I know Jeremy's going to talk a little bit about that when he comes on the air in a few minutes. But after that, all you're talking about is the collapsed tent of the PGL and maybe a new golf course opening somewhere. But now we're back. Now we're back to tournament golf. And it's Tiger, Tiger, Tiger all the way. And actually, I've caught myself watching his press conference yesterday and today. And you're right, he's a little rusty. And we'll talk about that later on in the show. But I can tell you that the avid golf fan, even the ones that don't play golf but love the game of golf, and they love Tiger, they're back. They're watching. Even the Golf Channel today said it's not that normal to have this many people watch our broadcast on a Thursday from a PGA Tour event. So we're looking forward to talking about Tiger, some of the things he's going to do next year, and obviously this tournament's getting a lot of attention because of that.
Well, we've got some time now. We can dive into that as we take a look at that leaderboard. And he's one of my candidates for story of 2023, and that's Brian Harman. And he sits on top of that leaderboard. Tony Finau, he's a favorite of mine. They're both sitting at 5 under. Did you watch that round of Jordan Spieth today? He finished one back at 4 under. But I've never seen, it's prototype Jordan Spieth. I mean, he's going to bogey.
It's pretty wild. It was, I think he only had like 5 pars the whole round. You know, Brian Harman, they were talking about he's only played in 4 tournaments since he won the Open Championship. I'm not sure if that was because he was injured or he just took some time off. I'm not sure about that. But it looks like he's back on top of his game after being a little rusty. And the full beater, Tony Finau, showed it up. And is actually lighting it up, too, at -5 on it. But, yes, Jordan Spieth had one wild, wacky round of golf, that's for sure. And, plus, you know what? Cameron Young's right behind him at -3, and he's not one on the PGA Tour. Now, if you win this event, it's not recognized as an official PGA Tour win, but yet the money spends the same, and I think that it might be a nice boost for Cameron Young, who was obviously off to a great start on the PGA Tour the last year or two.
Well, John, you do get world points, though. You do get points for this event, which I was shocked to hear that today. And if you take a look at this field, there's 20 golfers, by the way, if people haven't followed it. 20 golfers and some of the greats in the game. You got a total of 197 wins, actually, in this group of players. 30 majors amongst them, and that's just 20 players. So it is a very,
now that you mention points, I just want to make something update our listeners on this with the official World Golf Rankings. It appears that if you finish 10th place in this tournament, you get more points than winning the Australian Open. And the great Jack Nicklaus used to call the Australian Open the fifth major, because he was so impressed with the field and the courses in Australia that he thought that was deserving of being a major championship if you're going to have a fifth major. Now, this was years ago. But at the same time, if you look at the World Golf Rankings, why would they diminish the points in the Australian Open when you have a limited field here, it's no cut? How would you not rank these tournaments at least equally? But at least there are some official World Golf Ranking points, and it looks like quite a few of them.
Well, you know who the favorite is. Of course, he's going for his three-peat. Now, as I look at the odds, and I cheat and I pull them out of the New York Post, but Victor Hovland was, before he teed off, he was +400. He'd won 2 in a row, and the only person to win 2 consecutive is Tiger Woods. And, Victor Hovland looking to three-peat. And then Scotty Scheffler, who had a nice round today, he's sitting at +450. You go down, you know who I'm looking at in 2024, and he played well today. He's won a couple of times after the Ryder Cup. He's sitting there at +800. Is Max Homa? I think he's gonna get himself a major in 2024, and I think make a run for Player of the Year. But Victor,
well,
Homa,
actually, Max has just won. He won in South Africa on the DP World Tour just recently, so he's one of the few in the same year to win on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour the same year. And you look at Max, yes, he's obviously perched to have a great 2024. There's a bigger story here coming down the pike, but I know he didn't play his best today, but Will Zalatoris, his first PGA Tour event back. And, it was really disheartening, because when he was getting ready to tee it up in the Masters 30 minutes before his tee time, he says his back gave out, and he just had to go get back surgery, major back surgery, and all of his life, all he's done is play golf every day and work on it, so it was a really tough time for him to take the layoff. So it's good to see him back. It's good to see Tiger invite him back. I think Tiger knows that, Will eventually is going to get his game back. Now, Will had a very suspect putting stroke. It was more like a figure eight path of a putter versus a traditional putting stroke. So he showed up with a kind of an extended putter anchored on the arm. So it looks like he's worked quite a bit on his putting stroke. And yeah, +9, with no cut. Yeah, not his best showing, but at least he's out there and he's back and looking for a great 2024 for him.
Well, of course, you know how Vegas is. They keep their finger on the pulse, everything. They didn't expect much out of Tiger. He's 66-1. He's last. And then, of course, Will Zalatoris, knowing that he's coming back. And then both of them rusty. He's 33-1. But a guy that's the Rodney Dangerfield still of the PGA, and I love the cat, and I think he got slighted in the Ryder Cup. is Lucas Glover, and Vegas isn't giving him any love either. He's sitting at 50-1, I love Lucas Glover's story.
Hey, you know, Lucas Glover, yeah, and I tell you the truth, he should have been on that Ryder Cup team. He was hot at the time. He played really well, and it's good to see that he got invited to this tournament. Speaking of invites, you know, Tiger didn't really commit to this tournament until maybe a week or two ago.
November 18th, I think.
Yeah, he wasn't sure if he was going to play or not, and so it's funny because one of the folks at the press conference asked him, says, Tiger, you decided to play at the last minute. How did that happen? What was the process for that? And he goes, well, I checked with the committee of one, and they said yes. And so who's on that committee?
Does he handpick every one of these guys?
Well, he's the host of this tournament. This is his tournament.
I knew that, but I didn't know that there was – so it's just his selections then, huh?
Oh, yeah, he picks who plays, yeah.
Oh, yeah, bravo. You better stay in his good graces. Of course, he was playing with one of his favorites, Justin Thomas, today. So, you know, he had a comfortable pairing.
I think he's in charge of pairings, too.
Is he really? Hey,
Yeah, he is. I mean, this is actually, it's kind of funny because you would, in the past, in PGA Tour days, I remember one year at Doral, Seve Ballesteros was the host golf professional for the tournament. And I'm thinking, host golf professional, Seve, like, washing the carts and putting them away and, you know, getting the pairing sheet ready for tomorrow. What's he doing, you know? You know, it was just more of a figurehead thing. But Tiger actually has got hands-on on this tournament. He figures out who plays with who, at least to start with, and who gets to play in the tournament. His foundation benefits from the proceeds of this tournament. So, you know, he's actually pretty hands-on. We can call him the host pro this week.
Hey, Tom, have you ever been down there in that area, Albany, New Providence, the Bahamas, by that course?
Yes, I have.
I think I was on
New Providence. That's by Nassau, right?
Yeah, I was on.
I was down there with Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, back in the day, you shared some stories with me.
Oh, yeah.
That we can't share on the air, but yeah, they were classic stories. I thought so. I was going to ask you beforehand, but you know, I just decided to throw it out there. I actually, here's what. To do. I was in one of those cruise ship little junkets, that one of them that sunk about a month ago, and we drove by and they pointed out that golf course. I do remember that. So as far as I'm concerned, I've been there.
Yeah. And Michael will go out and play 36 before the tournament, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's played 72 holes before Michael Jordan. You know that, John?
Absolutely.
Oh, and those guys were gambling like crazy. At the tables.
Ooh. Without a shadow of a doubt. So, Tiger, his statement that he was going to try to get in one tournament a month, you think that's realistic? And what did you think of him today watching the way he played?
Well, you know, I looked at it. I listened to the press conference. He made some very interesting comments. And, you know, Tiger's not going to admit that. I think he's 48 years old now. I mean, 47.
He'll be 48 next week. 48 next week.
Yeah, so, you know, he's not admitting he's getting older. You know, he will not admit that at all. I can tell you that right now. But he knows. He said, listen, my game is not at golf speed. You know, and it's interesting to hear him say that. He called it actually game speed. And he's just talking about the speed of the game. He says there's different speed. There's the home speed of the game and there's the game speed, meaning that, you know, when you're in competition, things go faster, you swing the club faster, and that's something you have to get, you know, used to every day. And he says, you know, not playing competitive golf every day, he says he lost a little feel. You know, he didn't have a feel for things as well as he does. You know, and that's interesting to say that, you know, most golfers out there think that PGA Tour players are super mechanical, and the ones that are probably don't retain their card for very long. But he plays by feel. He's got the fundamentals. He plays by feel, but there's a different feel in the game. As there is a different feel just at home, batting it around. And so I think that his once a month schedule next year will fit him perfectly. He did mention that now his back's fused, now his leg is fused. He hasn't changed the swing, he says, but he doesn't have the mobility and the rotation that he used to have. So I watched a lot of the shots today that he hit under pressure, and he flipped them left a little bit. He relied on his hands, and you rely on your hands sometimes. You're going to flip that club closed, and you're going to hit some pull hooks. And he did several of those today, so that's going to be the big bugaboo in his swing going forward. But, you know, he still has retained the distance off the tee and his accuracy with his irons. So I think for him, the once a month is good. That works him up into his schedule. He said he didn't have any pain in his ankle, but he just hurts all over, and that's because he's getting old. It has nothing to do with, you know, I think his back or his knee or anything.
Join the club, right?
Hey, John, not about the mechanics, though, but you really think that we can expect him to walk 4 days on a hilly golf course?
Well, that remains to be seen. You know, that is something that, you know, when you start looking at some of the severity of these golf courses, yeah, for our listeners out there, sometimes, in fact, you know, a lot of our listeners is probably throughout the years have lucked out maybe and got some tickets to Masters, practice rounds, this, that, and the other. And when you walk out at Augusta National, you realize just how hilly this place is. And as a spectator, just to walk 18 holes on the hills, much less playing golf and you know, playing golf every day and hitting golf balls and playing under the pressure of tournament golf, it's a very taxing thing. So I think the verdict on Tiger is going to be not that he can't compete at a high level, but will we have the stamina to be able to go for four rounds on a hilly golf course? A very good question, and that's only going to be seen by how he does.
You know, his post-round press conference, he did allude to the fact that it was a feel issue because, you know, after 13, I think he only had one par, and that was 18, and he struggled. And he said a lot of that was feel. But I tell you what, when he got up on the tee box in hole number one, he striped it right down the middle, about 285, and he certainly looked comfortable there. Did he look like he almost looked like a Barry Bonds look? I mean, he looked pretty bulked up. I just say that. Did he appear that way to you guys?
He and Barry had the same doctor.
He still did?
Back in the day.
Back in the Royd day. Yeah, well, I didn't want to say that, but his face looked rounder.
Well, he's older now. I'm just saying back in the day. I mean, you know, he was really muscular. I always wondered about that.
Well,
they busted that guy at the border coming in from Canada.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
and you know,
I didn't know Tiger's name got thrown into that though.
It wasn't. But the people on the inside knew that it's the same doctor.
Really.
Tiger
looked pretty buff today.
And after the Barry's doctor, you know, got busted and all that sort of came out with Barry, Tiger's game went to hell.
Well, he blamed it on the
wife, but
yeah, and on the golf club to the caddy. Hey, didn't you think he looked a little buffed there, John?
Well, he's always maintained incredible shape, and you know, he's actually, you know, he's fairly tall too. I think he's like 6'1" or two, so he's very tall, and you know, he's very physically fit. He's always taken a lot of pride in that. But also, when you look at his golf swing, people say, "Well, his swing hasn't changed." Just listen to Randall Chamblee on the Golf Channel today, and Randall's a student of the game when it comes to golf swings and things like that. And you know, throughout the years, people have claimed that Tiger's had six different swings. He had his swing when he was in college, and then he had his swing when he first came out on the tour, and he's worked with Butch Harmon. Then he had his Hank Haney swing, and then he had his Sean Foley swing. Then he had his comeback swing when he won the Masters, and now he's got this swing. Well, Tiger claims his swing hasn't changed, but his body certainly has. And again, he doesn't have the rotation and the lower body stability that he used to have, so he does rely on his upper body a little bit more and more on his hand motion. So I think that,
I remember when he came out, Jack Nicklaus or somebody said, you know, what a great swing, but that won't carry him through the years. His back won't be able to keep that torque. Remember when he first started, it was something that I remembered. And
well, absolutely. And even Jack Nicklaus later on in his career, in fact, when he won the 86 Masters, you know, a year or two before that, he started going into a flatter swing and working with a stretch, you know, specialist, somebody who, you know, learns how to teach you how to stretch and remain limber and things like that. And he flattened the swing out, and he won the 86 Masters. So the same thing with Tiger now. Tiger looks like he's got a Champions Tour swing going on right now.
Yeah. I remember when Tiger came out and first got that big $40 million or something from Nike, and they thought his game was going to go down. And he took that money and invested it in health coaches and a whole team. Instead of backing off because he made all the money, that was just a down payment. He used it very wisely on health experts and had a whole team.
Absolutely. In fact, Tiger, throughout the years, you know, after he made that initial investment, he actually has never lived off his investments at all. He's always used whatever money he won on the tour as his money and to live on and do whatever.
a pretty big boat then.
Exactly.
That boat he's got is nice. I've seen it. But I will say, I mean, you know, at the time, this kid coming out of college, getting all that money, he had the largest health team of any athlete in the world.
Which was a brilliant decision.
Unbelievably. Unbelievable investment on his part into his own body.
Hey, you're listening on the T Florida. Of course, fellas, we've actually talked golf seriously for the first 20 minutes of the show.
John, you got to be proud of us. Except that John would say you haven't mentioned the sponsors yet.
I'm going there right now, but I have tagged
minutes
them.
Late.
I'm watching every one of them. I've tagged them all.
I'm doing your job for you, John.
I'm the T Florida.
Tom is the producer of the show, and he keeps us all on track. And thank you, Tom, for doing that.
I'm the T Florida's archived on RadioSt.Pete.com, and that's on our Florida Sports Stream channel. And of course, John Rager Report. You can go to our On the T social media. He does a superb job. Our flagship for all the shows on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection is WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340, WZHR FM 104.3 FM, and WDCF AM 1350. And then, of course, up there in Lake City, WGRO AM 1250 and WDSR AM 1340. And Tom alluded to, we are brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. They're the official cocktail of On the Tee Florida. And we're in the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. And where we got Michelob Ultra, they're one of our great sponsors. And they've got some exciting things we're going to be doing in 2024. We got a lot of news in 2024. Michelob Ultra is going to step up. Every one of the majors, we're going to have a party. We'll have a party on Thursday nights before Masters, PGA, the Open, and of course, which one am I missing?
PGA.
PGA, yeah, I got them all. Anyway, we're going to have a party, and hopefully all of the courses will be playable on our simulators, and we'll have people play those the week before. John Rager, that's some of the things in my conversation with Michelob Ultra, and I know you'll get creative there, my man.
And I know,
well,
John.
What we'll do is we'll actually do major matchup where you take your score and scores that are shot in the tournament. We'll figure out a way to be able to pair people up together where you can take your score and their score and put them together and win some prizes and things. And I can assure everybody, we will not be charging PGA Tour prices for those Michelob Ultra beers out there. They will not be $16.50 a pop. Probably you can get a whole bucket for that.
There'll be specials. Hey, while we're at it, I want to introduce, and he's been on before, the Hippie Shack is now an official sponsor. We got him signed, sealed, and delivered this week. But Liquid Drip, the young man, Sean Knight, he came down. That's another one of our new sponsors. And they've got, it's Liquid Drip, THC infused. It's orange and black cherry flavored. Very, very, very good if you like that THC. Almost from a health perspective, it helps you out. And Hippie Shack, Roger French, he's our new sponsor. And along with Liquid Drip, combined in our Wednesday night show with Roger French and the Hippie Shack, reeling in the years. I'm going to get Tom Gribben involved in this to come down and talk about his years with Tom Gribben and the Saltwater Cowboys. It's a throwback show, 5 to 7, and debuts on the 13th of December.
Well, I will tell you this. There's a legendary surfer here, Joe Nuzzo, who passed away from the Suncoast Surf Shop, and he has his major party every year for charity, for the bringing toys for the kids. And this year, it's going to be at the Hippie Shack, December 19th. He always does it on a Tuesday before Christmas. December
Bravo.
19th at the Hippie
Shack. I should do that show from there.
That will be packed, and it's all people from the surfing community and, of course, the boating community, and then all the people of old people who bought stuff from the surf shop over the years. And it's a major event, and I'm glad to see the Hippie Shack being the sponsor this year.
Well, Roger the Dodger, another Iowan, he's at the helm there. I know we're killing you.
Bring your sliced bread.
We're killing you.
You know, another thing they do, they have more, they do like 15% of the hogs in the United States.
Exactly.
It's a hog town.
Thanks for updating me. I grew up with my grandfather above the stockyards. We smelled like that until I was about 10 years old.
Hey, you still do.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm sitting away from you. Hey, we're going to take our first break, and then, of course, we'll come back, talk to Jeremy Friedman, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, perched above Ferg's, across from the Trop on 13th and Central. Come on down. It's a nice Thursday night. Come on down on this last day of November.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Tampa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back. Tom the Tee, Florida, brought to you by our good friends, of course, at Sea Dogs Brewery, Shipyard Brewing. Sea Dogs serving breakfast daily. And we, Tom Gribben and I, we need to get over there sometime the next couple
great
of weeks.
Great breakfast there.
Before the holidays, just a great home-style breakfast. John Rager, of course, he's up there at St. Augustine Beach. Bill Butner will be here shortly. We'll have two pros and a hack. And then, of course, I have a surprise for him. You know, Patty, the cart girl, is coming down.
Well, I'll tell you, when Butner and Patty get here, we'll be talking about ice pick vodka a lot.
Yeah.
More than their share.
We won't be talking serious golf as we have been. But who better to talk serious golf than our friend Jeremy Friedman? And you notice that I have my Anika gear on again.
I noticed.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure Rager's got his on, too.
Yeah. So
I love it that you've got the Anika gear on. Love it.
Yeah, I wore it, but I forgot to give these guys an invitation to come up there, Jeremy, and I haven't heard the last of it. So next year.
Jeremy, they didn't even bring us back a hat.
We need to fix that, don't we? I think I might know some people who can fix that.
Hey,
Tom, I got a couple range balls for you. I snagged if you want some of those.
I'll take those too.
Well, floaters? Are they floaters?
I love the negotiation tactics that we're doing on the to kick off the radio interview. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as I mentioned to you today on the phone, and I appreciate you taking time out of your one of the few breaks you get, we had Justin on, and that was great conversation. I didn't realize that his wife also worked up there. What a great team you guys had up there for the Anika.
Yeah, Justin and Natalie are a great duo at Pelican Golf Club. Justin, he's super humble about this stuff, but he's, you know, he is, in addition to the COO of the club, he's also instructor for several LPGA Tour players, including Brittany Altomare and Elizabeth Zocal, who are here in Tampa residents too. And Natalie is no slouch when it comes to golf. She is really, really, really good. She has her own show. I'm gonna plug my former employer, a golf channel. She has her own show on Golf Pass. It's an instruction show on Golf Pass that you can tune in and see all of Natalie's great instruction tips.
Well, in fact, Jeremy, what we did, when we launched on the Tee Florida, we decided that, well, we need to have social media out there. So, you know, we've got the Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram. And so we decided, well, let's go follow all the leading folks out there and, you know, get some information, see what's going on in the world of golf and link to them. And one of them, well, we didn't even know it at the time, this is like a year ago, one of them was Natty Golf. It was Justin's wife. We didn't really know that they were connected to each other, and so we you know, she is that notable, that accomplished, and also what a great social media she puts out there. Even if you just follow along, whether you play golf or not, you'll have a good time with it. But I know that you'll knock a few shots off your game if you are a golfer and you go visit Natty Golf out there on social media.
Yeah, 100%. She we're next year in 2024. We're gonna kind of engage her a lot more on the social media front for the tournament. So because she does have a tremendous following just from everything that she's been doing in her golf career before she came at Pelican Golf Club. So.
Well, Jeremy, you kept her hidden from us too. We would have loved to have her on the show. So we're putting you on the spot now. She needs to be our first guest on next year's broadcast from the Annika.
I think we know people that can make that happen.
Well, speaking of making things happen, let's talk about after the Annika, where your travels were. You went south for the season finale. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I went down to the CME Group Tour Championship, the season finale down in Naples. Where was there for a good chunk of the week. The LPGA, in addition to it being a season ender event, they have their year end LPGA tournament partner meetings where they bring in tournament directors and tournament staff from across all the tournaments to for kind of a season ending recap, and it's kind of the exclamation point is the Rolex awards dinner and celebration that takes place every year on Thursday night down there.
Well, I saw where Lexi Thompson won an award this year.
She did. She did, and you're putting me on the spot. I don't remember all the awards off the top of the head. She won an award. One of the cooler ones of the night, in addition to, like the Player of the Year awards and the Bear Trophy and all that. So, Jane Park won the Perseverance LPGA, the Heather Farr Perseverance Award, and I think all of us that are in golf, especially that follow the LPGA Tour, know about Jane Park's her family story with her young daughter Grace. How a couple of years ago at the then Volunteers of America Classic, Grace came down. She had seizures and was rushed to the hospital, and she is diagnosed with, I can't remember the exact title, but it's severe epilepsy. And so Grace had to, she transferred from a full-time LPGA, or not Grace, Jane, transferred from a full-time LPGA player to a full-time caretaker. And this summer at the Dow Great Lakes Bay Invitational, she made a return to the LPGA Tour as a team event up in Michigan with her good friend Paula Creamer. And the tournament did a lot of donations. The LPGA Tour has done a lot of donations. And it's just a really good story. And it was for her to get that award at the Rolex awards dinner. I don't think there was a dry eye in that place when she was doing her acceptance speech. So it was really, really cool.
Well, you know what? As we just discussed it in our conversation several times, the women's game is exploding. And I guess I'll ask you, as a media analyst that you are and superb at it, is it showing up in the numbers, eyeballs watching television? I know I certainly have become a fan, where in the past, I would see where, an L.A. Corda was at, or a Lexi, or anybody that I may potentially have a reason to follow. And that was about it. Now I can name the top 10 pretty much and know what country they're from. And I think the intrigue of this global game has got to have expanded. The Golf Channel's got to be ecstatic. Anybody that's got the television contracts, it's taken a while, but it's paying off.
Yeah, I've always said it's if you build it, they will come. To kind of steal a line from a classic movie that we all love. But this year, for sure, especially at the LPGA majors and a lot of the bigger events, the LPGA Tour did have record ratings. And I think it starts with the field, and it starts with the LPGA Tour really putting a lot of additional resources into storytelling and telling who these players are, so that we can, as viewers, so that we can, we have a rooted vested interest on who they are, right? That's a big thing that I know the LPGA has been working on. And then also with the elevated purses, and with all of these, there's a lot of these companies that are really investing in women's sports, not just in golf. I'm sure you guys have seen that it's across sports, that now is the really prime time to invest in women's sports.
Women's
and
basketball.
A lot of the tournaments. Yeah, women's, for sure. And for a lot of tournaments this summer, the Annika included, the ratings were tremendous. I mean, it's a big example was this summer, the U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach. I mean, that's one. It's Pebble Beach, right? It's iconic. It's an iconic place. It's the first time that the LPGA Tour was there. The third and final round on NBC surpassed 1 million viewers, and Sunday's final round peaked at 1.6 million viewers. For the LPGA Tour and for sports in general, that's tremendous. And there's a lot of other tournaments following that was kind of a beneficiary of that. And it also helped that you had all these big name players were rising to the top, familiar names and familiar faces that us at home that we can root for and cheer for. And that all came to conclusion right before Thanksgiving at the CME Group Tour Championship.
You know, Jeremy, we read your press releases from down there, and you know, we weren't able to make it down, but we saw that you announced that their 2024 schedule has over $116 million in prize money, and you've got a record 10 regular tournaments offering at least $3 million. So that is really something. I know over the last 5 years, the LPGA Tour purses have grown. I think there was only one dip, and that was during the COVID year, 2020. But $116 million in prize money is absolutely awesome, and these women get to play 10 tournaments, so offering at least $3 million in prize money. The LPGA has come a long way, and the future is bright.
I 100% agree, and it starts, so it's, you know, to get, so a couple of years ago, there was maybe one tournament that had a purse that was $3 million or higher, and that kind of all, it was kind of a domino effect. It started out west in Los Angeles with JM Eagle when they took over title sponsorship of the LPGA Van Wilshire Country Club. They doubled the purse from $1.5 million to $3 million. Right after that was our event at here in Tampa, the Annika, where we partnered up with GameBridge and Annika to announce that tournament purse at $3.25 million. And it's an all boats rise. Right, that's what these title sponsors, you know, want. They want to see, you know, they want these players to succeed. And right, and you saw, and we all saw that at CME with what Terry Duffy is doing at CME with his purse. Right, I mean he's leading the charge, and there's a lot of tournaments that are right behind. You know, starting with Walter Wang at JM Eagle, and then Dan Towers at GameBridge with, you know, getting their purses up to $3.25 million, and this coming year you got 16 tournaments that are $3 million or above, and that is, and it's only going to grow even more. So the state of the LPGA Tour is growing, and you know we've all been in this industry for a lot of years, and we know that. You know, years ago when the LPGA Tour was struggling and they were struggling to get tournaments and get sponsors and fill their schedule. I mean, now they've got 34 events, something like that, coming in 2024. And so it's just, they tout it as a global tour, and they have a lot of tremendous tournaments overseas, but right here in the U.S., there's a lot of great tournaments that are going to be coming up in 2024 as well.
You know, Jeremy, I know in the days like covering the LPGA Tour, I remember having the opportunity to talk to Mike Wan quite a bit, who now is, I guess he's like high up, one of the vice presidents of the PGA Tour. But your LPGA commissioner, Molly Marcoux-Simon, is an interesting person. I haven't heard much about her and her background. Where'd she come from, and how'd she become the commissioner of the LPGA Tour?
Well, she came from Princeton University. She was the exact title. She was like the athletics director of Princeton University. So it was she helped get Princeton just really elevate Princeton's stature with collegiate athletics, and she knows that role and that business really well, and it transitioned to the LPGA Tour, and she's been a big proponent for women's sports, particularly women's golf, and this was just a next great step for her becoming commissioner of the LPGA Tour.
You're listening to Donna T. Florida. We have a conversation with Jeremy Friedman. He's the director of media at the Anika, and I guess I have a question, of course, brought to you by Michelob Ultra. But I don't know which show it was. It was a conversation of late, and I think a lot of it was directed towards Annika Sorenstam, because even if you were not following the women's game when you said Annika, or, you know, it was kind of like Tiger in the women's game. And that's one of the things they said right now on the LPGA. There isn't just a name that everybody on the periphery can relate to or follow. And they said that's one of the things they need to get to that next level for other people to follow, is some phenomenal, consistent story, like an Annika, like a Tiger. You know, Annika has 70-some wins, 90 across the globe. You know, those kind of numbers that that touch every sports broadcast in some capacity. Share a little bit about your opinion regarding that.
Well, on the LPGA side, I don't know if we will see another feat like that, where we have a single player gets 70 plus wins on the LPGA Tour, because the quality of golf and the quality of players from across the globe is just tremendous. That's why you have so many. You'll have a lot of first time winners on the LPGA Tour, but they all have just awesome pedigrees, right? So, are we going to see something like that where there's a single name on the LPGA Tour everybody will resonate to? I hope so. It's
Who is the face right now? If you were to say, who's the face of the LPGA from a female perspective right now?
I would say it's probably a few of them. Probably Nelly Korda and her sister Jessica, Jessica's about to have a baby. So I would say Nelly, Lexi Thompson's been that for several years, right? She's probably one of the more recognizable. On the LPGA Tour as far as faces and names. I would say before Lexi, probably Paula Creamer. Right, she had that run for years. You know, if people would say, all right, who's the Pink Panther, you would know that's Paula Creamer, right? She had that run for years. Now, who's the face of the LPGA? Nelly is one, yes. Lexi is one, yes. But you have so many good players that are competing week in, week out, that I don't think that there's, you know, a single one. I mean, you could say Brooke Henderson's up there, right? You could say that Céline Boudier, who had an amazing year this year, Lilia Vu, who is world number one currently, who has an amazing story and just an amazing year from Los Angeles, you know, but fans don't really know Lilia Vu yet. She had her really big-time breakout year this year. She won our tournament, the Annika. She won four events, Player of the Year, and also is world number one. I think.
And she has a personality.
She is a great personality. And I think there's this is where the LPGA has the opportunity to really focus on storytelling about their players, really kind of planting their flag to, you know, sorry to use that pun, on who are the next generation of players that fans should really get behind, right? And that's also, you know, because it's a global tour, it's not just American faces, right? It's international faces. It's the Hinako Shibunos, right? It's the Celine Boutiers. It's the Madeline Sagstroms from Sweden, right? It's such a global tour that they can plant their flag with so many different players. Now, I think what we might see next year is kind of more of a push with a certain amount of players. And because what I would like to see is a player from, you know, one of the South Korean or one of the Korean players to really, really kind of come on and really have a great story to tell so that the American fan base can wrap their arms around, right? One of the announcements that the LPGA made during the 2024 schedule was the LA Open that's in Los Angeles, that Palos Verdes Golf Club, which is another one of my tournaments that I run. That is going to be the Sayre Park LA Open. So Sayre Park is going to be returning to the LPGA Tour as tournament host of that tournament. Now, in our golf world, that's a first name that we all know. You hear the name Sayre, you know who that is, right? We don't really have a ton of that on the LPGA Tour currently from an international side, and I think there's opportunities there to grow that as we get into 2024 and beyond.
Hey
Jeremy, I want to shift gears real quick here, just on a quick question. Have you ever played Palmasia Golf and Country Club?
No, I haven't.
Well, we got to make this happen. And for our listeners out there, a little quick history lesson. The Tampa Women's Open was a golf tournament played on the LPGA Tour from 1947 to 1960, and it was played at Palmasia, which is a beautiful private club located in downtown Tampa. But the 1950 event, now I know this is ancient history, but actually it's kind of cool, and we need to get you over there to play. The 1950 Tampa Women's Open was the first official event on the LPGA Tour. So it has a lot of history there, and we got to get you over there to play it because you need to add that to your... I know you live here in Tampa Bay. We need to get you over there and play.
Yeah, because you know that it's the that's a big thing that the LPGA is going to work on and celebrate is the 75th anniversary, right? And that started right here in Tampa. So,
hey, I want to switch gears as we get to the top of the hour. All your years at the Golf Channel, everybody knows what happened today. Of course, it was the return, only the eighth event that he's attempted another comeback in the last couple of years, Tiger Woods. And you talk about the needle moving on a Thursday. The Golf Channel's all over it. That would have been one of the things that you would have got involved in back in the day at the Golf Channel. All hands on deck, and it's going to be Tiger 24/7.
Oh yeah, it definitely would have been in my purview. Like his different returns that he did over the years, Golf Channel would do an all hands on deck because we would say that Golf Channel or that Tiger is not the needle mover. Tiger is the needle.
Yeah,
and I mean
that was
literally
today. That was obvious today, totally. Wasn't it?
Yeah, and they Golf Channel they extended their tournament coverage longer than the traditional window. They had they had pregame and they had postgame and their social teams were all over it today. That is especially when it's kind of this time of year. I mean, Tiger's tournament,
perfect timing.
Yeah, it is perfect time. Every year that the Hero World Challenge would come about, even if Tiger wasn't playing, but if he was doing a press conference, oh, it would still be all hands on deck because it's Tiger Woods, right? And today, I would venture to guess that when the ratings come out, when the overnights come out and the ratings come out on Friday, it'll probably be one of the most watched rounds on the PGA Tour outside of the majors this year, because everybody's curious to see how is Tiger Woods going to do? How is he going to play, right? We're all curious on that. So is he.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, it was interesting watching, and I knew you were kind of in the thick of it. Well, I appreciate you taking time, my friend, to talk a little golf. Real quick, on the top of your head, what was the biggest story in golf this year for you?
The biggest story in golf is the it's not done yet. It's that December 31st deadline with the PGA Tour and PIF and the new company. I think that's the biggest story in golf this year. Now, if you're talking about inside the ropes, there's a few stories there, but as a whole, that's the biggest story because that has a ripple effect on the future of competitive golf, right?
Exactly. Well, thank you, Jeremy. I hope to talk to you before the holidays. If I don't, have happy holidays. And we always appreciate you taking time. You're very generous with it to share your insight and all you've done in the great game of golf. Have a great week off, and then you'll get back at it.
Yep, I appreciate it, guys. And thank you guys again for coming out to the Anika a couple of weeks ago. Looking forward to doing more of that in 2024.
Yep, you got a tournament. We'll be there, brother.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, he's Jeremy Friedman, and he treated us like royalty there, John Rager, when we went up there. That was impressive. And speaking of royalty, he just walked in the house. You're tardy.
My mic is on now. When we went up there to the Anika, you said. Now, he wasn't
John
talking to you and me. Bill.
I was talking directly to John
exactly.
Rager.
Exactly. Not to me.
I knew I shouldn't. I should have double checked to see who was going to be here today before I brought this topic up.
Although you weren't here, but Jeremy said he could take care of us.
Okay, good. There you go.
I asked on your behalf.
Oh, you
did. I was gracious.
You were complaining.
I can't take this continual badgering.
Sliced bread over here.
Yeah. Hey,
he shows it off on his hat and his wares.
Yeah. Well, I knew we were going to have Jeremy Friedman on.
Oh, and he can see you through the mic.
Well, I knew this conversation would take place. And I had something else I was going to hammer you about.
We're
going to
announce Bill Buttner. Please do.
Bill Buttner in the house.
Absolutely. Sorry, but Nine and Wine Girls had to have a little attention today.
So my God. Well, let me tell you something. I'm glad you're at Nine and Wine because you don't have to wine here shortly. The beautiful cocktail queen, of course, Patty Suzette, will be in the house for the second hour.
Not just a voice.
She'll be sitting right next to you.
No Patty the Cart Girl will be here, and we'll be talking about ice pick vodka.
Hey, before we break for the news,
30 seconds.
We come back at the top of the hour, after the top of the hour, it'll be time for Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report.
Oh, yeah.
Top of the hour, we got Mark Egley. Then we'll go to your report.
Wild Bill, if you're listening, wait for your weather report.
Bill Buttner and of course, Mark Egley will have a conversation. We'll be back on the Tee Florida, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill on this 30th of November.